You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is just about 10 o'clock now in the morning. At 11 is Between the Covers. David Naiman speaks with essayist Elliot Weinberger about his new collection of The Ghost of Birds, followed by at 11:30, Black Book Talk tackles Seedlings, a time travel tale that takes place on the Oregon coast. At 10:15, following Air Cascadia, is Flashpoints. And this morning, David Bernstein is having a special election coverage with an extensive conversation with Greg Palast. And coming up next now is Air Cascadia with Chris Andre. Good morning, Cascadia. Today is November 3rd, Thursday, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm on the web. We got a couple of interesting guests today. Matt Stannard with Public Banking Institute has found a connection, as many people know. North Dakota has been a stellar example of public banking being a huge success. Now, public banking and the standoff at Standing Rock have become entwined, and not in a really great way. It is extraordinary that this would happen, but not surprising. Joining us on the line today is Matt Stannard. He's been a guest on Air Cascadia before, and we are very, very happy to welcome him back to the KBOO airwaves. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Chris. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, especially about important stuff like this.
Yeah, this is. Especially, I was going to give you bell anyway to talk about the election and public banking and what candidates might do about that were it presented to them, landed on their desk. I didn't expect to be talking to you about the Standing Rock situation. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what actually happened, just to give listeners a rundown?
Certainly. A lot of people have been writing really good articles about what's been going on at Standing Rock with police repression, police from five different states who've become deputized to brutalize these nonviolent demonstrators, these nonviolent water protectors. But, of course, North Dakota is also the home to the nation's only public bank. Public bank, of course, is a public utility that uses the power of the state and the power of the bank of banking to fund low-interest loans for public services and public goods. Well, a public bank is only as ethical as the people who run it, and in this case, the governor of North Dakota and his emergency finance committee voted to fund this police repression with low-interest loans from the public bank. So the same public bank that in 1997, put tens of millions of dollars to work helping victims of the Grand Forks flood, the same public bank that has built schools and roads and a lot of good things there in North Dakota, is now being used for this extremely evil end.
And who would you, as Governor Dalrymple and his cohorts, this would be an internal North Dakota action, again, to suppress.
Absolutely.
To suppress.
And North Dakota is heavily dependent still on its oil economy, and the class of people that are in office, particularly the Republicans in North Dakota, you know, are very much tied into the big oil and the big fossil fuel industry. And so it's not really surprising that they would use the best tools available to crush this these protests. But remember, the federal government has said, we're not going to remove the protesters. They're exercising their free speech rights. And, of course, the federal government is trying to work out a solution to the standoff. But the state of North Dakota is being extremely repressive, and unfortunately, they have a public bank to help them do it.
Does this, going forward, will this have any negative or repercussions for the bank, the state bank?
I don't know about the state bank. My concern is the public negative bank. Repercussions that it could have for the public banking movement. And that's why on my website, Cowboys on the Commons, I posted this article, North Dakota's Public Bank is Funding Police Repression at Standing Rock. It's a call for people in the public banking movement to understand why this is happening and what we need to do about it.
What could be done about it? Is there any way to monitor and control in any way the way in which public banks can be used, because clearly in this case the bank is being used to fund operations of dubious legality. Controls could be put in place to prevent?
Yeah, I mean, the solution has to be this long-term comprehensive solution on the part of those who, you know, are pushing to change things. And that is to remember that, you have to be careful in single-issue movements. You know, you can create a tool this powerful, but you have to create around it a movement of people dedicated to socioeconomic justice, dedicated to a post-carbon transition. You can never look at these good ideas in the abstract or separate from all of these other things. So what I would encourage people to do is to continue calling the governor and other state officials in North Dakota to continue to complain and publicize about what they're doing, including saying, and I don't approve of you using the Bank of North Dakota, a good institution, to do such a bad thing. And, you know, for people to continue to do things like join the public banking movement and the rest of the economic justice movement so that we can push forward a comprehensive agenda of human rights, economic rights, and environmental rights to make the world better and to stop things like this from happening.
What sort of leverage would the actual people who have accounts, the people who are the bank, have they any sort of leverage or say in this? Can they object to their bank being used this way?
No, in this case, no, because unlike private banks, the Bank of North Dakota has no shareholders. And it has very few individual depositors. It's not a consumer bank. Mm-hmm. It's mostly, you know, used to lend money for development and for emergencies and for state business, some small business loans, student loans, etc. And so the people of North Dakota are the owners of the Bank of North Dakota. And so it would be incumbent upon the people of North Dakota to say, we don't approve of our bank doing this. But there's not, you know, unlike Wells Fargo, where shareholders or consumers can revolt, you know, there aren't any shareholders for the Bank of North Dakota. There's only the stakeholders, and those stakeholders are citizens of North Dakota as well as the institutions there. And so really public pressure is the only alternative in this case.
And this seems to be, obviously Republican action that is behind it, Dalrymple and the state government, this too coming just at an election time. It's extraordinary. One is always holding my breath. Would there ever be an instance of a Republican in office? Would they be able to dismantle the bank or raid it? There are concerns mm-hmm. now that this is happening, and people who are, as in Oregon, where there are efforts underway right now to have a public banking system. And it's been somewhat tried in the past, but mm-hmm. that's a prospect that no one wants to have to face.
It's ironic because the Bank of North Dakota was created by agrarian socialist farmers, farmer populists, people really on the right side of social and economic justice 100 years ago. And those people eventually lost power in North Dakota and the Republicans took over. But the Republicans have never wanted to get rid of their public bank because they're happy with what it does for the North Dakota economy. So again, I would say public banks are good things for the most part, but they have to be accompanied by good government and good people scrutinizing what their governments are doing. And that's obviously not going on right now in North Dakota.
Thank you so much for that, Matt. Matt, before we let you go, just any final thoughts you want to leave our listeners with? And also information where they can go to Cowboys on the Commons is the website. You can get that article there. Any other sources you want to let people know about?
Sure. I mean, I would always, the site is Cowboys on the Commons. It's got the North Dakota's Public Bank is Funding Police Repression article there. I would also urge your listeners to check out Occupy.com, as well as my organization, Commonomics USA, and check out the Public Banking Institute as well. So those are four places that they can go to learn more about all of these issues. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you so much for that. We are so pleased to have you on the show today. Very short notice. And delighted to have you clarify something that people are looking at with horror, that this has happened. Everything, it seems, that's happening now.
And thank you very much. Always happy to send love out to my peeps in Portland. And hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot. Of course, that was Matt Stannard at the Public Banking Institute. Website to go is Cowboys on the Commons. You just heard it from Matt, and you'll easily find all of these forces and keep abreast of the developments in North Dakota. Who would have thought that this would spread even to a venerable institution like North Dakota's public banking system, which has been looked at? It's the absolute, no pun intended, gold standard of banking and a model for every other state in the nation to emulate if we wanted really to get our financial economic house in order. That would be the way to do it. Anything is vulnerable, particularly in these days when all bets are off and laws can be subverted and twisted around and turned to the advantage of those who do not have the people's best interest in mind. Note in point, Osceola, Saco, North Dakota, since the violence of the police raid last week, which established a militarized zone around the Dakota Access Pipeline in construction areas. The Morton County Sheriff and supporting agencies have fanned out into the areas surrounding the Osceola, Saco camp. Groups of police vehicles parked in several areas to monitor the activity at the camp. One such area is a hill behind the main resistance camp. Many people who have been to the camps in North Dakota will know what this is about. It's directly across the part of the Cannonball River known as Cantapetta Creek. The original people of the area described the hill as a sacred site. One contains ancient burial grounds, which police are right now, as I speak, they're desecrating. It's been turned into a parking lot for the police. And when yesterday morning, a group of water protectors attempted to cross the Cannonball to establish a prayer camp on that hill. They built a wooden footbridge so that people could cross the water, and law enforcement responded to the footbridge by firing so-called less than lethal projectiles at people who were attempting to cross. SWAT officers in a boat tore the footbridge away with rope. It's heating up. It's heating up. Snow's about to fall in North Dakota. Met's heating up. The Trump child rape case has been completely debunked, but no one's listening because they only hear the very last words that Trump says. It's time to put that away for good. This has been Air Cascadia for November 3rd, Thursday, this 2016. Engineering for us today, Judy Feistel. Thanks for that, Judy. Derek Cooks is KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.